Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to be looking primarily at verse 4. Now, this is a continuation of Paul's practical instruction to believers regarding their conduct. And verse 4 is focusing on parents toward their behaviors toward their children, how they are to train them up and raise them in the Lord. And remember, though, that whatever group that we're looking at, we as believers, we're still benefited. We're still encouraged and strengthened and have things that the Lord is showing us for our good and our comfort. And another thing to also remember as we go through this is that we're not to hear this in the flesh. These aren't commands to the flesh, but we're to hear it in the Spirit. We can't do anything good of ourselves. We can't bring forth any righteousness from this flesh. We're completely dependent on the Lord and on the Spirit to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, and to keep our hearts. And so we receive this instruction. My prayer is that we receive it and hear it as mature believers, as believers who want to serve the Lord, who want to hear the Lord, and that we hear it as the servants of Christ seeking to minister that which is good and profitable unto men. That which is good and profitable unto men. So hear this word in the Spirit, and behold the principles of the gospel that we hear in this message, that we wouldn't be dismissive of what's said, but that we would hear it with hearts set upon the Lord Jesus Christ and to be found faithful in him by his grace. And so let us walk in him by faith, because the just shall live by his faith, Habakkuk 2:4. I've titled this message, Bring Them Up in the Lord. Bring them up in the Lord. And we'll be looking at instruction to parents. And so let's pick up where we left off last week, where Paul had been speaking to children and giving instruction to children to be obedient to their parents. And we saw the gospel there. Let us see now his instruction to believing parents and the exhortation he gives them. And it's found in verse 4. And ye fathers, and let me just say there that he's addressing fathers, because fathers typically tend to be the more severe one, and mothers tend to be the more accommodating ones, not always, but it's a word to both parents. It's a word to the parents. And he says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when we see that last phrase there, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's a word of encouragement to the body of believers. As a church, we see the importance of the gathered children of God coming together as a body, as the church. And we want, what's so important is that we come together not simply as a community of people and pushing programs and doing community type things as a people, but we're gathered together in the interest of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what we need. We need the gospel, and the Lord blesses and nourishes and feeds his people with the gospel. And so this gathering is very important. It's very important because this is what parents are going to make use of in addition to their own instruction, but they're being fed and taught the gospel coming to the services, and this is where they're going to bring their children to be fed and taught the gospel, to hear it. To hear that word of our Savior. And so a word to parents is We need to be diligent in bringing our children here to the gathered body of believers to hear the gospel. To hear the gospel. We need it. We need to be fed and encouraged and reminded of those things which are most needful, which is found in the gospel, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our Savior. We need to be fed with him, and your children need to be fed with the Lord. And so this is where the children of God are gathered together, where we come together to be nourished and fed and provided for in the same way that your children at home come to the table to be nourished and fed and provided for. There's a lot of similarities there. And so another thing, before we really get into it, another thing that we see here is parents, we often think a lot on how to provide best for our children. We invest a lot of energy in giving them good foods and providing them with clothing and shelter and a good education. We look to provide them with a good, healthy home environment because we believe these are good things for our kids and it's healthy for our kids to have this. And I would say, according to the word here, that we ought to give the same diligence to what our children hear and to bring them to hear the gospel and to encourage them in what they are hearing in under the gospel and to tend to those things in the same diligent manner that we tend to their other needs as we're raising them up. And so our prayer is that our God will bless the word, the gospel word, to their hearts. That is our prayer, right? That our children would hear, because we know it's of grace. We know we could do the best that we can do, and that's all that we can do is the best. And we come short in every way. We come short and have failings and don't perform as we would perform as parents. But our prayer is that our God would be gracious and merciful to them and help them to hear his word, help them to hear his gospel, and that he would give them life by his Spirit, because that's how we hear. We only have life by his grace, by his Spirit giving us life, making us born again, seed of Christ, the seed of Christ, that we would be found in him and that he would give us that gift of faith whereby his children believe him and trust him and desire him. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And that means, as a parent, especially you with young children in the home, that means that there's times as they get older, you're going to need to be firm with them in their coming and hearing the gospel, because there's going to come a time when they push against that and test whether or not this is important to you and whether or not this is necessary for them to hear any longer. And so just know that as you're raising them and they're getting older, there is likely to come a time when they're going to push against it, and you'll need to be firm with them in coming to hear the word of the Lord. And not in a threatening manner, not in a harsh manner, but in a firm manner. Be diligent in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, I have three daughters, so I can say it the way I'm going to say it, but one of my daughters, there came a time where we were going to services, and her sleep schedule was very different from our sleep schedule. And there were times where she had trouble getting up. And there came a time where it was time to go. And if we were going to be to services on time, we had to leave. And she wasn't ready. And so we left. But here comes the battle. Here comes that day, and this is going to be a challenge. But I prayed, and I spoke to her. I made sure that when I got home, I spoke to her, and she heard. She heard it and came. I just simply said, this is important to your mother and I. We worship the Lord, and you're our children. You're under our house, and I don't ask much of you. But this is what I do ask of you, is that you come and hear the Lord. And she did. And I think there was one other time, but it was a firmness. It was a quick follow-up to address that. And that there is that time where that has to be addressed with your children. You know, and I say that because I know that we know it's in the Lord's hands. He's going to give them the heart. But if you leave it with your child when they're young, they're going to do what the flesh wants to do. And our flesh would delight in not coming to hear the gospel. So remember that. There's a time to be firm with your children and to speak to them, not in a threatening manner or harshly, but you can speak to them and in a manner that they can hear it. So we'll pray, because there are times when they don't hear it. Another aspect of raising our children, we read in Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And I looked up that word betimes, and this goes to what I was saying before. It means early. You follow up with them early on it, just as it's beginning. You recognize it and you follow up early with your children. Don't let it slide, because my own human nature tells me I know that it just builds and builds and builds and gets worse and worse according to nature. And so that's what he's saying. You follow up, you chasing them betimes in an early manner. Deal with it early, because it only gets more exaggerated and more gross and ugly as they get older and as they grow in it. Now, another thing, though, it doesn't mean that every infraction is to be taken care of with the rod, with beating the child in a corporal punishment way, which means physical way. That doesn't mean that that's the only way to raise your children and to discipline your children. The rod of discipline can be used in other effectual ways for your children. And knowing your child and what motivates them. And there are, you know, the rod of discipline isn't always the belt or a switch. There's other ways to raise your children effectually. And I've heard other older pastors confirm that and say that as well, who were raised in times when all I ever heard from my parents was that pretty much it was a physical punishment typically, but no, there are ways that you can effectively raise your children and help them to hear what you're saying. And that means it takes time to get to know your children and spend time with them and know them, speak with them, and speak with them early. Because it can go a long way in them obeying you from the heart, hearing what you're saying in the heart, rather than just complying for the time, even though they hate everything you're saying and they don't agree with it. And so I was thinking, you know, in regards to how we speak to our children and raise them and help them to hear and have a heart that wants to hear, I was thinking of plants in the garden. You know, some plants, they begin to produce bad fruit, right? A tomato plant can begin to produce nice-looking fruit, but on the bottom it gets that black spot and it's corrupted and ruined. But rather, you know, one way to deal with that is to rip it up and throw it on the pile, the heap, for burning at the end of the season. Right? That's one way to deal with a tomato plant doing that. Another way, as I understand it, which I plan to work on next year, but is to spray it down with some calcium spray, that it's lacking calcium. And so you spray the leaves and you soak the roots with it, and it might begin to produce good fruit. If plants can be dealt with in that way, right? Sometimes they need more sunlight, maybe they need more watering, maybe they need some fertilizer. Well, in the same way, children benefit from the appropriate response to certain things and dealing with it in that manner. And that's what I'm saying, that some things can be more effective than always using a corporal punishment, a physical punishment in that way. Now, here's what I was getting toward now in this part of the message, is that I was thinking about fathers in Scripture. I was thinking about fathers in Scripture and different examples, And the one that I actually settled on is Paul, the Apostle Paul. And that may sound odd, because we know Paul wasn't married. Paul had no physical children of the flesh. But Paul actually is a pretty good example. You know, early when Paul was going around with Barnabas, we read of a time where they had a young man, John Mark, that ministered to them. And there was a fierce argument between Paul and Barnabas over John Mark, because John Mark wanted to go home for a season. And Paul was very firm in where he stood on John Mark, and wasn't very favorable of John Mark. He was very harsh toward him and toward his behaviors. But we also see another example. Now, later on, John Mark became useful to Paul. We know that from his later letters written later on. But we also see another example in Timothy. And Paul spoke to Timothy and treated Timothy like a son, like a father. And I believe it has very much of an influence on what Paul says here in Ephesians 6:4, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So let's turn to 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to pick up in verse 2. And we'll read down to verse 10, and I'll just make some comments from this passage as we go. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. "Timothy, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." So here we see that Paul speaks very tenderly to Timothy. From what we can understand, this is the last letter that Paul ever wrote, that we have in the Bible. This is his last letter, and it's written to Timothy, his dearly beloved son. And we see that he ministered to Timothy. He loved Timothy. He invested in Timothy. And a lot of time, a lot of love, a lot of encouragement in the Lord. And he says now in verse 3, "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." So here we see that Paul, the father, if you will, the spiritual father, one who treated Timothy as his son, he prayed for Timothy. He prayed for Timothy often, day and night. He thought of him a lot. And that's an encouragement to all parents with children, whether they're in your house or not in your house. Pray for them. Pray for them often. Pray for them night and day. Don't think lightly of it. Pray for them. And you that know others, have friends, have relatives, have members in the church with children, pray for the parents that they also pray. Pray for the children. Pray for them that the Lord bless the work in their hearts and bless the work in the hearts of his children. And that they would hear. He says in verse 4, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." All right, Paul thought fondly of Timothy. Just like a parent, you parents, you have an intimate personal relationship with your children. You know them well. You know them well. You've seen their tears. You've heard their tears. You know their concerns. You know their desires. You know the things that they have a real hope and interest in. And Paul recognized, he knew, Timothy had a true interest in the Lord. He had a true interest in Christ. And he nurtured that. He nurtured that real interest in Christ. He wanted to see that grown by the Lord in Timothy. You know, remember, we think of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a chapter of love, right? It teaches us the unfailing nature of love, of true love. And he says in verse 7 and 8 that love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. Love never faileth. And that's probably easiest for parents with their children. We love our children. There's a close, familiar, dear relationship that we have with our children. And so we want to nurture that which is good, and we want to address that which is not good, that which is evil. And if you see that developing your children, address it. Because if you don't address it, maybe nobody else will. And you have such an interest in your children, as uncomfortable as it could be sometimes, especially as they get to be older, at least be faithful to address it. They may not hear it, but you're one of the few people they have in their lives that can speak to them on that level, on that personal level. You're one of the few people in any person's life, it's a parent speaking to their child. And more likely, they'll at least give you some time to say what you got to say. And they may not like it, but it isn't always that way. But nurture. You really want to nurture that which is positive, especially in the Lord. And so Paul continues that nurturing in Timothy in verse 5 now. Paul continues here, and he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And I was thinking, we don't always have that blessing. That's such a cherishing thing when you have a believing child. It's rare. It's rare. But when you have it, cherish it. If you have it, cherish it. Pray for your children. Pray for your friends and family and those that you know have children that are believers. Pray that the Lord bless them with that, because it's such a rare and a sweet blessing to have children that do believe Christ, that are hearing Christ. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy, and he's reminding Timothy, he's taking time to remind Timothy of the gift of faith that God has given to him. And that's important for us to affirm to believers, to believing children. It's important to affirm that in them, to encourage them in that which the Lord has done for them. You think about yourself, and you think about all the struggles, all the hardships, all the doubts, all the failings that you have experienced as believers in the Lord. You think about that and how trying it has been in your raising up in the Lord, and how the Lord's dealt with you. And then you think, well, my child who's a believer, they're going to go through those same hardships and those same trials and those same difficulties and oppositions against them. And the Lord tells us, whether it's with our children or other believers or even unbelievers to a degree, that the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, does this that we may comfort others who are also going through those same difficulties and trials. Yes, the Lord needs to bring it to their heart, but the Lord also uses brethren to encourage his children, to encourage them in the things which they've gone and experienced before. Even if it's not personal and every detail isn't known, you still know what it's like to go through difficulties and hardships and things that press you out of measure and squeeze you and put you in positions that you just don't think you can ever get out of. Well, in the same way, if you as believers go through tribulation, and we're told all believers go through tribulation, then that means that your children who are believers are going to have tribulation, have trials, have hardships, have difficulties. And even the things that they experience now as unbelievers may be used by the Lord effectually to strip them of their strength and their self-confidence and their self-righteousness and bring them to see their need of the Lord. And having heard that gospel when they were young, maybe the Lord will bring it to their mind and cause them to seek him and cry out for mercy in that day. And so what's amazing here, why I bring this up, why I'm bringing this out, is because Paul, as a father, as looking at Timothy as his son, as his father, rather than discourage Timothy, because, you know, as a parent, we don't want to see our children experience pain and suffering. And we do everything we can to minimize the severity of the pain we know they're going to feel. We do everything we can to limit it. It's just what comes naturally to us as parents. But we know the only way they're going to, you know, hear me, the only way they're going to know is going through it themselves. And we hope that they'll hear something that we give them to help them. But it's amazing that Paul, who loves Timothy, rather than discouraging Timothy, actually encourages Timothy in that which is going to bring him into tribulation as a believer. You see that he's actually encouraging him, saying, I know it's going to be hard, Timothy. And Timothy did perish. According to tradition, he perished in Ephesus at the hands of the townspeople who were doing idolatry, who were just into an idolatrous festival, and he addressed it, and he perished in a brutal way, and he suffered him and died. And so it's not easy as a parent to encourage your child in that which, according to the flesh, is going to be against them. But Paul here did, and that's what he's saying to parents. Nourish and admonish them in the Lord. And so he says in verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And, you know, the question to us is, will you encourage your children as believers, those that are believers, and those that don't, are you encouraging them to press on in the Lord, to move toward the Lord, knowing that it's going to bring them tribulation in the flesh. It's going to bring them difficulties in the flesh, though it'll result in their eternal glory, their eternal rest, their eternal life. And that's the thing to remember. So let us do the same in the Lord. Let us encourage them to stir up that gift which the Lord has given them in the hope of faith, In the hope of Christ, that the promise of life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, or is our focus on teaching them how to do well in this wicked world, right? How to fit in with a fallen world. That's the other option. We either encourage them in the Lord, or we encourage them in the dead things of this world. Now, in 2 Timothy 1, verses 7 and 8, Paul, again, affirms that which we as parents are to do with our children. And he says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And so we see here Paul as a father to his dearly beloved son in the gospel, he encourages him to press on. Don't fear that which is going to give you difficulties in the flesh and press you out of measure in the flesh. You press on in the Lord because it's for your good. It's for the promise of life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul's bringing up Timothy, if you will, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's very different from how we commonly raise our children. We've spent a lot of focus on raising them to be productive citizens of this world, right? In this world. And they do need jobs, and they do need to provide for themselves. But make sure you give as much, if not more, diligence in helping them to seek the things which are Jesus Christ's, to seek those things in the Lord. Now, if your children are going to be believers, it's only by the grace of God. You can invest a lot of time in your children and do that which is right and speak to them and pray for them and bring them to hear the gospel. It's by God's grace. It's only by God's grace if they hear and believe him, and the Spirit's going to reveal the Son in them, and he's going to reveal the Son in them through the preaching of the gospel. And that's why it's so important to put the gospel above, you know, the means that we make for ourselves in this life, in the flesh. And so Paul, what does Paul do? He sets the example as a faithful father to his children. He declares the gospel to Timothy, his beloved son, his dearly beloved son. He says in verse 9 and 10, "Who hath saved us?" Speaking of Christ, "who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works," right? It's by his grace, "but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." We're affirming over and over and over to our children that Christ is salvation. He is the Savior of his people. He came, he suffered for his people. He died on the cross, laying down his life as their sacrifice, as their substitute, bearing our sins, bearing our punishment under the wrath of God to make atonement for us, to make a covering for our sin. And Paul preached that, and he preached it to Timothy. Even though Timothy knew it, he continued to affirm this to Timothy and declared Christ, who came for our redemption, who came as our substitute in the flesh to lay down his life. And he's now, verse 10, manifest, now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so we see that our Savior came and accomplished that which he purposed to do, that which he came to do. He accomplished it being faithful to his Father. And so parents, teach your children Christ. Remind them of Christ. Stir them up in the promise of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You love them. I know you do. As parents, we love our children dearly, no matter how old they get. No matter how old they get. And when you have grandchildren, there's still something peculiar about the love you have for your child that is just never fades. There's still such a connection there to your own child. So above all things, teach them Christ. Pray for them, because it really is only by the grace of God that they'll hear and believe and continue in the faith of the saints. And so I pray that that's an encouragement to us, even as a body of believers, to know the importance that of what our God has done in establishing his church here, to that his people now and his people to come, the young ones, that they would hear the gospel and have that blessing of having the gospel. Because if you don't have it, the best thing to do is to pick up and move and bring your family to a place where the gospel is preached. It'll be well worth it to you, especially if the Lord is merciful and gracious to them and helping them, blessing them to hear the gospel and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.